Dr. Patty, honored guests, fellow graduates, ladies and gentlemen. As a representative of this graduating class, I cannot speak in complete agreement with the thoughts and feelings of every member. However, I feel that I can speak for the majority of these graduates. As graduating seniors, the thought that is foremost in each of our minds is the simple fact that we are graduating. This primary fact is certainly allied with feelings of triumph, accomplishment, pride, humility, or relief in the minds of the various members of this class. At this point in our lives, we obtained the goal which we established several years ago. In the past few years, we have worked and studied in an effort to reach this goal. In the process, we have learned things other than the academic concepts and ideas necessary for the earning of a degree. College or university study is a period in which students mature socially as well as intellectually. By association with students and faculty from other nations and backgrounds, we have had forcefully impressed upon us the fact that men the world over strive to achieve essentially the same goal. Men of all nations try not only to satisfy their own needs, but also to perform services and establish a useful position in the home, the community, the nation, and the world. The establishment of this useful position in the home, community, nation, and world is and should be the ultimate of human endeavor. This ultimate goal is the one goal which we and all graduating seniors must and will set up for the future. This most difficult achievement will now replace the goal of graduating which we have today attained. I feel that every member of this class realizes not only the honors that accompany this degree, but also the obligations to mankind which he now contracts. By accepting these degrees, we hereby pledge ourselves to the fulfillment of this contract with mankind. Thank you. Representative of this graduating class, I'd like to present you with this flag of the United States of America. It's the newest edition, the 50 stars. Which, well, thank you.
Very wonderful. This will be flown to the campus of the university. Thank you very much, senior class.
Friends of the University. As is the case with many speakers, I find the necessity for prepared text in order to properly express myself. But also I find that some of my best notations lie in my audience. And when I have heard this lovely rendition as we have just now, I do believe that we have had a better appreciation of the importance and significance of this fine commencement than any words that I might add at this time. However, we now come to that part of our program where we are honored to do honor to certain very distinguished servants of our country. In the past assembling of honored guests, there has oftentimes been a striking unity in their work or in their dedication to a common cause. This year, the unity lies in that each may be called truly an Alaskan pioneer. Now, a pioneer is a pathfinder, and he goes before the rest of us, seeking a way that others may follow. The danger, however, in being a pioneer is that he may get too far out ahead of the rest of us, and thereby lose touch with humanity and even defeat his own objective by leaving too faint a trail. There is a story told of an explorer in the South American jungle whose native guides and bearers plunged on at a rapid pace for many a day and then stopped short, refusing to go any further. "What is the matter?" asked the explorer. "Are you tired? Are you afraid?" "No," replied the old chief, who had recruited his men. "Our bodies have gone too fast, and we must wait a few days for our souls to catch up with us." What has enshrined the Alaskan pioneer has been his consciousness of human needs. Each of the pioneers whom we honor today has thrust on with eyes to the front, but always with a helping hand to the rear. Each has been admired for his courage, praised for his achievements, but loved for the simplicity of his human touch. Our first candidate for honorary degree was literally a trailblazer, who initially came to Alaska in 1921 on a mapping assignment with the United States Geological Survey. For the next 20 years, he was engaged in surveying and mapping in Alaska, going from dog teams to airplanes. He became a specialist on reconnaissance mapping and was placed in charge of topographic surveys in Alaska in 1938. In this capacity, he organized and assisted in the original development of Trimetrogon mapping, a cooperative program with the Geological Survey and the Army Air Forces to provide worldwide map coverage for military operations. Recognizing his unusual and outstanding background, our candidate was called into the service in 1942 as Air Force Colonel and Commanding Officer of the Aeronautical Chart Service. Following his distinguished war record, he was appointed Chief of the Topographic Division of the Geological Survey in 1947 and served in that capacity until retirement in 1957. Mr. Fitzgerald, would you please step forward? Gerald Fitzgerald, distinguished and world-recognized authority on topographical engineering. All who travel on the Earth's surface or in the air are indebted to you. And by charting our vast Alaskan unknown, you may be called truly pathfinder of the great land. Now, by authority vested in me
as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Science.
Our next candidate for honorary degree is the son of Klondike pioneers as well as a pioneer in his own right. He has been a resident of Alaska since 1905. Because he is so well known to everyone, and additionally because his education was to some degree on this campus and his early home life in this area, I dare not run that most serious of all oratorical hazards, namely of having too many of my audience know more than I do. Consequently, for a biographical sketch, I refer you to Saturday's issue of his first employer, the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. The only nugget of information which I shall triumphantly disclose to you in the course of awarding the degree is his full Christian name. I first became acquainted with our distinguished guest when he was Secretary of Alaska, a post to which he was first appointed in 1939 and then reappointed in 1943. The approval of his fellow Alaskans has been officially pronounced in electing him to 6 successive terms as delegate to Congress and to first senior United States Senator from the state of Alaska. I know of no man who has grown more in stature during public office. I believe we have never before had a local boy who has grown into such a national figure. He is a true pioneer who has intrepidly led the way in bridging that great transition from territory to sovereign state. With all his achievements, he has a humility in stature and nature and staunchness in character that is only equaled in personality by the graciousness of his lovely wife. I know of no one who more richly deserves the highest recognition by this university. Senator Bartlett, would you please step forward? Edward Lewis Bob Bartlett. Distinguished political leader and statesman, wise by experience, humble by nature, your faith in Alaskan destiny has given us hope in the past and inspiration for the future. Now, by authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws. With respect to our third pioneer, which we wish to honor today, I cannot confer a degree at this time. I had that privilege 7 years ago. I knew him then only by reputation, a reputation which was so outstanding that I fairly dared him in my mind to live up to it. He bade us be bold, and we took him at his word and invited him to be our third president of the university. Never was the saying more fitting, that the office sought the man and not the man the office. His unique qualifications by background and personality made him the only man capable of leading the university at the time he was asked to take hold. Fortunate is our state, and indeed the nation, for all time to come, that Ernest Patti's idealism and dedication to the cause of higher education made acceptance of this challenge his duty. There is no need to catalog his achievements. You have seen them today, the beautiful buildings and campus, the outstanding faculty of which we are justly proud, and the end product, our expanded and vigorous student body, exemplified in this graduating class. Rather would I emphasize the impact of his personality on all who have a responsibility to carry on. For thereby we retain forever the benefit of his noble spirit. His boundless energy will set the pace for those who follow. He is a practical dreamer whose visions have been translated into action. Above all, he has evaluated every project, first and foremost, in its human terms. The Board of Regents has wished to honor Dr. Patti and at the same time not close our official connection. As I read this resolution, it is directed towards Dr. Patti, initially, but as well to Mrs. Patti, because the efforts of our president could never have been crowned with achievement if they had not borne the inspiration and help of the first lady of the campus, whose hospitality and grace have been a treasure to us all. Whereas Dr. Ernest N. Patti has been an educator, builder, and planner, and has significantly advanced the cause of higher education through serving as a member of the University of Alaska faculty for 13 years and as president for 7 years. And whereas the university experienced its greatest period of growth under his dedicated and competent leadership, and whereas the Board of Regents consistently have found Dr. Patti to display the finest spirit of cooperation, harmony, and enthusiasm while carrying out the duties and responsibilities of his office, and whereas Dr. Patti has worked diligently, courageously, and boldly to build the University of Alaska, which now exists as a permanent tribute to his vision, determination, and ability, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Regents express its deep appreciation to Dr. Ernest N. Patti for the great contribution he has made to Alaska and the United States as President of the University of Alaska. And be it further resolved that the Board of Regents, in recognition of the numerous contributions which Dr. Patti has made, and as evidence of their desire that his identification with the university be continued, do hereby appoint Dr. Ernest N. Patti as President Emeritus of the University of Alaska. This resolution, which I have just read, has been properly engrossed and signed by all the regents as further evidence of their great esteem and respect, and will be embodied in a scroll which will be presented for permanent possession by Dr. and Mrs. Patti. Now with our hearts burdened with your parting, but filled with the joy of our mutual endeavors, we wish you and Mrs. Patty to carry with you the ringing cheers of your students, faculty, and all friends of the university.
Thank you very much. Won't you please be seated? I've got a brief swan song. The wonderful metamorphosis of the University of Alaska during the past few years cannot be credited to any one man. Those of you who have been close to the university know that Mrs. Patty has constantly worked at my side and that she has contributed a great deal. Then there are many others. Certainly no university president, as you've seen here today, has ever had a finer board of regents. Without their guidance, their fine policy decisions of a high order, their encouragement and their warm friendship, I could not have proceeded with confidence. Together, I feel that we have created the image of a great university. I inherited the nucleus of a fine faculty. And over the years, this has been forged into a faculty that does the university proud. These people were badly underpaid. And though we have increased salaries about 50% during the past 6 years, I must leave this faculty still underpaid for the services which they are rendering. Their devotion to the university is as great as mine. They form a cadre of fine men and women. And I'm going to miss the close association and friendships which we've had over the years. It's unusual for this deep feeling of affection to exist between a president of a university and a faculty. So often you find the president and faculty sniping at each other. This is certainly not true here. The faculty sensed what we were trying to accomplish at this university, and they jumped in and gave me their fullest cooperation. And at no time have we ever been at cross purposes. At least if they have, I haven't known about it. Shakespeare said there's a destiny that shapes our ends, rough hew them as we may. It must have been destiny that shaped our decision to accept the Regent's offer of the presidency of the University of Alaska. Initially, it seemed impossible to accept, and at one time we started to frame a telegram declining the offer. Thus, we would have lost the most satisfying and constructive period of our lives. We would also have lost the opportunity to work with these fine young men and women who have been students here at the university. It is very satisfying to realize that one is working to shape the lives and careers of those who are to be the future leaders of our new state. The result of their work will bear fruit long after we are gone. I have great respect and admiration for the present generation of university students. We who toil in the vineyards of education carry a great responsibility. We work with young people in their formative and impressionable years. Their ultimate fate hinges in part upon how well we do the job. But I did not come here this morning to press any flowers in my memory book. The view in the rear vision mirror of the road we have traveled is a pleasant one, and we are sometimes inclined to keep our eyes too long on the rear vision mirror. But let's forget that and glance down the road ahead. The University of Alaska is now on a firm foundation. This is the close of an era, but there is still a new and brighter era ahead. This campus must always be a place for courage and a place for daring. If it ever loses that touch, it loses vitality. Alfred Sloan once said, "Our schools and colleges can serve the best in our civilization and communicate the best to each succeeding generation. That has been one of our chief at work here. I see an era when the university will gain national recognition as a prestige university, where it will play a much more important part in the affairs of the state of Alaska. An era of great growth. In the past 6 years, enrollment has trebled, and it is only beginning, for within the next 3 years, we should have 1,500 students on campus. And still farther down the road, I can dimly see a milepost stating 3,000 students. That isn't idle dreaming. The last legislature had just authorized the university an Institute of Marine Science to deal with research in oceanography and fisheries. I don't know whether you realize how important that is going to be. I will venture the guess that within a few years hence, this will develop into one of the most vital and important activities of the university. We now have a paper organization for an Academy of Northern Research. We must breathe the breath of life into this, for there is every reason, why this Farthest North University should be the center and the authority on all problems dealing with the Arctic and the subarctic. The university has obtained such prestige that we are now receiving financial help in the form of grants from such organizations as the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Corporation, the National Science Foundation, and the Arctic Institute of North America. We have received wonderful backing from the members of the former territorial legislature and now the state legislature. They no longer speak of us as the Fairbanks College. We are now the university for all Alaska. If it were not for the strong financial help from the legislature, this campus would not be as you see it today. We have sought to develop here a multiform, dynamic university with a vital outreach into the state of Alaska. The University of Alaska is a stimulating and exciting campus. It is going to continue to be exciting for Mrs. Patty and me, even from the sidelines, to watch the University of Alaska come into its full destiny. Thank you very much.
Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, our Father in Heaven, grant us wisdom and understanding so that we may fully appreciate our heritage. Teach us to use each precious hour wisely and devotedly. May we learn to study thy teachings and train ourselves to keep thy commandments loyally. Give us strength of body and clarity of mind to live as worthy human beings and as good Americans. O cause all thy children to realize that brotherly love and harmony are the keys to a better world, that peace is the greatest of all blessings. May the wisdom of the prophets be speedily fulfilled. As they said, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Amen.